Suratul Hajj, ayah number 39 onwards, permission to fight has been given to those who are being fought, referring here to the Prophet's companions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were wronged, and indeed Allah is competent to give them victory. So now that the Prophet and his companions were in Medina, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had spent 2 years establishing themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally gave them permission to fight the kuffar in order to defend themselves. Allah says they are those who have been evicted from their homes without right only because they say, "Our Lord is Allah, Rabbuna Allahu." And was it not that Allah checks the people, some by means of others? There would have been demolished monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques in which the name of Allah is much mentioned. So here we learn that it is forbidden to demolish monasteries, churches, synagogues, and masajid. It doesn't matter who the masjid belongs to, which sect, which denomination it belongs to. Allah forbids it to be demolished because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects people. Allah says, "And Allah will surely support those who support Him. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in might." So how do we support Allah? By supporting His cause, to spread Islam, to spread peace between people. Allah says, "And they are those who, if we give them authority in the land," meaning the Sahaba, "they would establish prayer and give zakah and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and to Allah belongs the outcome of all matters." So the crucial description of a Muslim ummah is that we establish prayer, give zakah, we must enjoin and must remind and help others to do right, ma'aruf, good things, and we must forbid what is wrong. Allah says, "And if they deny you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so before them did the people of Noah and Ad and Thamud deny their prophets, and the people of Abraham and the people of Lot and the inhabitants of Madian, and Moses was denied, so I prolonged enjoyment for the disbelievers, then I seized them, and how terrible was my reproach. And how many a city did we destroy while it was committing wrong, so it is now fallen into ruin. And how many an abandoned well, and how many a lofty palace." We see the ruins of those places even today. Allah says, "So have they not traveled through the earth, and have hearts by which to reason, and ears by which to hear? For indeed it is not eyes that are blinded, but blinded are the hearts which are within the breasts." Allah says, "Travel around earth, look at all the ruins of people, learn lessons from it. These are also signs of the power of Allah." But Allah says, "Their eyes can see, but the reason they don't take a lesson from it is because their hearts are blind." Allah says, "Eyes are not blind, the hearts are blind." فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. يَعْقِلُونَ is from aql, intelligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us, our hearts, to have an intelligence. How can that be unreasonable? Because Allah knows He has created us. Do you know that the heart has nerves around it? These nerves have the ability to perceive things. A 25-year research in the USA shows that the heart is capable of directing the activity of almost every cell in our body, helping to determine perception, emotions, and health. They call it the heart brain. It's a network of nerves in the heart that responds to and remembers positive or negative feelings. But Allah has told this to us over 1,400 years ago, that the heart reasons, but we have to allow it to reason. A hard heart, like a stone, does not reason because it doesn't use those nerves. But Allah says, a person who is not blinded will be able to use their heart and will be able to use their brains. Allah says, "For indeed it is not the eyes that are blinded, but blinded are the hearts which are within the chests." and they urge you to hasten the punishment, but Allah will never fail in His promise. And indeed a day with your Lord is like 1,000 years of those which you count. Why is Allah telling us this? Be patient. And for how many a city did I prolong enjoyment while it was committing wrong? Allah says this has happened before. The city of Pompeii. They were preserved doing the evil acts, subhanallah. Then I seized it, and to me is the final destination. Say, O people, I am only to you a clear warner. And those who have believed and done righteous deeds, for them is forgiveness and noble provision. What does that mean? Why do people with righteous deeds need forgiveness? Because we are not perfect. Even if we strive to do the best, we will always sin. So Allah says, but if you work hard and try to do good purely for His sake, Allah will forgive the rest. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Then there's a warning. But the ones who strove against our verses, seeking to cause failure, those are the companions of hellfire. And we did not send before you any messenger or prophet, except that when he spoke or recited, Satan threw into it some misunderstanding. This is very important. Whenever a messenger or a prophet have recited the words of Allah, Satan has wanted to throw some misunderstanding into it. He does that so the people listening would be confused, will have misunderstandings. Allah says, but Allah abolishes that which Satan throws in. Then Allah makes precise His verses. Allah clarifies those issues which are misunderstood so that all doubt is removed. And Allah is knowing and wise. This is why even when we recite the Quran and read the Quran, Allah orders us to seek refuge in Him from Shaitan. That is so He may make what Satan throws in, meaning asserts, a trial for those within whose hearts is a disease, and those hard of heart, and indeed the wrongdoers are in extreme dissension. Remember, when Allah guides someone to Islam, He opens up their heart. So there's a lot of conversation about the heart. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow Satan to throw something in and later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala re-establishes it, clarifies it? Because hypocrites will latch on to those words. The hypocrites will simply be misguided and they will be distracted. Remember in Surah Ali Imran, Allah says, those people whose hearts are crooked seek the ta'wil, the explanation of those ayat that are mutashabihat, that are not so very clear, and Allah has let them be that way on purpose. But people of firm knowledge, they follow and obey the muhkamat, the clear authoritative ayat, but they believe in all of the ayat. Allah says, so this becomes a trial. When people hear the Quran, sometimes it becomes a trial for those who have hypocrisy in their hearts. In their hearts is a disease. And also those hard of heart. Why? Because they refuse it. And then it becomes a hujjah, an excuse against them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being of those. Ameen. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always strongly advised that if you feel that your heart is becoming hard, remember death and recite the Quran. Allah says, and so those who were given knowledge may know that it is the truth from your Lord and therefore believe in it. So the believers, Allah says, zadatum imana, their iman goes up. Allah says, and their hearts humbly submit to it. Allahu Akbar. فَتُخْبِتَ لَهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts lower themselves, humble themselves, become soft. They debase themselves in front of Allah. That is what happens to the hearts of believers. اللَّهُمَّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ And indeed is Allah the guide of those who have believed to a straight path. So what is my mindset? What is my heart like? I'm not sure yet. But if I'm not sure, then what do? I ask Allah. The test is, whenever the ayat of Allah are recited, does it affect me? Whenever there's a gathering of dhikr of Quran, do I feel drawn to it? Allah says, but those who disbelieve will not cease to be in doubt of it until the hour comes upon them unexpectedly or there comes to them the punishment of a barren day. All sovereignty that day is for Allah. He will judge between them. So they who believed and did righteous deeds will be in the gardens of pleasure. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen. And they who disbelieved and denied our signs, for those there will be a humiliating punishment. Why humiliating? Because everyone will be able to see their end. And those who emigrated did hijrah for the cause of Allah, meaning to safeguard their religion, and then were killed or died, Allah will surely provide for them a good provision. Subhanallah, Allah brings to our attention the fact that they will live in the future. Allah says, if they have died in this dunya, Allah will provide for them a good provision in the next life, much better than this life. And indeed, it is Allah who is the best of providers. Why does Allah say that? Because most of the time, people fear losing their jobs and their property and their wealth. They find it easier to sacrifice deen, but Allah promises the opposite. Allah says He will surely cause them to enter an entrance with which they will be pleased. And indeed, Allah is knowing and forbearing, always knowing, Halim, very tolerant. That is so. And whoever responds to injustice with the equivalent of that with which he was harmed, and then is tyrannized, Allah will surely aid him. Indeed, Allah is pardoning and forgiving. The Sahaba were the ones who were tyrannized. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to be very careful and to only retaliate with equivalent of the injustice that was perpetrated against them. Justice is a key concept in Islam. Even in the course of war or fighting, one cannot tyrannize others. So Allah says, if you retaliate with equivalent force, but then you are tyrannized after that, then Allah will surely aid that person. Indeed, Allah is pardoning and forgiving, meaning despite the fact that Allah has the ability to take vengeance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons and forgives. So there's a hint in it, there's a suggestion that the believers should pardon as well. That is because Allah causes the night to enter the day and causes the day to enter the night, and because Allah is hearing and seeing. Meaning that Allah's power is such that He has the capability to give assistance or victory to the oppressed. Remember, Allah has said that He has forbidden oppression on Himself, and He has made it forbidden on His creation as well. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ. And that is because Allah is the truth, and that which they call upon other than Him is falsehood, and because Allah is the Most High, the Grand, هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Do you not see that Allah has sent down rain from the sky and the earth becomes green? Indeed, Allah is subtle and acquainted. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Latif, one who pays attention to details, to finer things. To Him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on the earth. And indeed, Allah is free of need, the praiseworthy. لَهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Do you not see that Allah has subjected to you whatever is on the earth and the ships which run through the sea by His command? And He restrains the sky from falling upon the earth, unless by His permission. Indeed, Allah to the people is kind and merciful. And He is the one who gave you life. Then He causes you to die, and then will again give you life. Indeed, mankind is ungrateful. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. For every nation, we have appointed rites which they perform. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let them, the disbelievers, not contend with you over the matter, but invite them to your Lord. Indeed, you are upon straight guidance. The kuffar would make fun of the rites of the Muslims. So Allah says, do not argue with them about those. إِنَّكَ الْعَلَى هُدَمْ مُسْتَقِيمُ. Allah says, you are upon the straight guidance. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his life was the straight guidance. So how is it possible that people can say, we can follow the Quran but not the sunnah? If we don't follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can we be on right guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is on the straight path. His pattern of behavior, His choices, His conduct, that is the straight path. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. Allah says, and if they dispute with you, then say, Allah is most knowing of what you do. Allah will judge between you on the day of resurrection concerning that over which you used to differ. Do you not know that Allah knows what is in the heaven and earth? Surely that is in a record. Indeed, that for Allah is easy. And they worship besides Allah that for which He has not sent down any authority, and that of which they have no knowledge. And there will not be for the wrongdoers any helper. And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidences, you recognize in the faces of those who disbelieve disapproval. They are almost on the verge of assaulting those who recite to them our verses. Say, then shall I inform you of what is worse than that? Meaning if they find the verses, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so reprehensible, na'uzu billah, then Allah says, tell them, I shall tell you of what is worse than that, what is worse than listening to the Quran. It is the fire which Allah has promised those who disbelieve, and wretched is the destination. Ya ayyuhan nasu, duriba masalun fastami'u lahu. O people, an example is presented, so listen to it. Indeed, those you invoke besides Allah will never create as much as a fly, even if they gathered together for it, for this purpose. And if the fly should steal from them a tiny thing, they could not recover it from him. Weak are the pursuer and the pursued. Da'ufa talibu wal matlub. Both are weak. Allah says in the same surah in ayah number 13, He, the idol worshipper, calls to one whose harm is closer than his benefit. How wretched the protector, and how wretched the associate. Why is it harmful? Because to call upon anyone other than Allah is wretched. It is a great sin. It will harm the person in this dunya as well as in akhirah. Whereas the protector that he supposedly calls upon can do nothing for him. And here Allah tells us that the concept of having gods besides Allah is an impossible concept. Like trying to create a fly. Allah says, here is a challenge. Can any of your idols, so-called gods, create anything? No. Then Allah says, let's take something lesser than that. Something that might sound easier. Fine, don't create a fly. But if the fly would sit on your food, dissolve some of it, and take it away, would you be able to take it back from the fly? Allah says both are weak. The one who seeks, the one who does idol worship, and the matlub, the one who is sought. The idols, they are also weak. Da'ufa talib wal matlub. Weak are the pursuer and the pursued. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ They have not estimated Allah. They have not valued Allah. Qadr has a connotation of recognition, understanding, awe, and gratitude. Allah says, they have not estimated me. They have not appreciated me. حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ As is his right to be appreciated, as is his right of recognition, as is his right of gratitude, as is his right of awe. Because Allah, He alone is the one who is surely the most powerful and exalted in might. Allah chooses from the angels, messengers, and from the people. Indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing. These are all qualities and attributes of Allah that no one else can possess. He knows what is presently before them, in the future, what they are going to do, and what will be after them, what they have done in the past. And to Allah will be returned all matters. And all of these things are the attributes of Allah alone. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanurka'u wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum. O you who have believed, bow, do ruku, prostrate, do sajda, worship, wa'abudu, worship your Lord and do good that you may succeed. Faf'alu al-khayra la'allakum tuflihun. This is another ayah of sajda. Please perform sajda as soon as you are able. Why does Allah separate these movements of prayer? And then He says, wa'budu. Allah says, urka'u, do ruku, do sajda, and worship Allah. Aren't ruku and sajda a part of worship? But that is ritual worship. Wa'budu means be His slave, outside of the times of prayer. Be His slave all the time. And this is the path to true success. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen. But not just that. Allah says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. And strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. What is the striving that is due to Allah? When we appraise Allah as He ought to be appraised, when we appreciate Allah as He ought to be appreciated, when we know and recognize who He is, His power and His might, then and only then we will strive in His path as we ought to strive in His path. We will strive according to what is due to Him. And remember that none of us can achieve that. But we have to try hard. Allah says He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. All Allah says is simply follow the religion. It is an easy religion. The Prophet ﷺ said he has been sent with an easy religion, Hanifa. It is surely within the capability of every human being to follow Islam. Would Allah not know the one who created? Allah says it is the religion of your father Abraham, the ancient religion that has always come down through generations of human beings. He, Allah, named you Muslims, Allah says, before in former scriptures and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness over you, and you may be witness over the people. So our name, we need to be proud of it, because it is a name that Allah has chosen since ancient times. All the previous prophets and their followers were all believers. They were called Muslims. Allah says, so establish prayer, which is a major pillar of Islam, our religion. Protect your salah no matter where you are. Never ever let go of your salah. Arrange your schedule around your salah. Allah then says, and give zakah. Calculate your zakah carefully. Be diligent in paying your zakah. Celebrate the opportunity to give zakah. Allah says, and hold fast to Allah. وَأَتُصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. How do we hold fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have left behind two things with you, and if you hold fast to them, you will never go astray. One is the Book of Allah, and the second is the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Quran is a rope of Allah, dua is a rope of Allah, dhikr is a rope of Allah. Never let go of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, istighfar, is a rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us of those who always hold fast to Him. And even if we forget, Allah always holds fast to us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, hold fast to Allah. So establish prayer and give zakah and hold fast to Him. Hold fast to Allah. He is your protector. فَنَعْمَ الْمَوْلَى. And how excellent the protector. وَنَعْمَ النَّصِيرِ. And how excellent is the helper. This is the complete opposite of idol worship. Allah says, the pursuer and the pursued are both weak. Here, the believer becomes strong. Why? Because he worships Allah and holds fast to Him. And Allah is قَوِيٌ عَزِيزٌ. He is an excellent protector because He can truly protect with the best of things. And Allah says He is an excellent helper. There cannot be any other helper better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a believer. And this is the crux of Islam. This is the basis of Islam. That I believe that no one is worthy of worship except Allah. I believe that my God, my Allah, is my only protector. And I believe that my only helper is Allah. I believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied the message that Allah is pleased with, and that I must follow him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to gain the pleasure of Allah. That is the belief of a Muslim. But how do I reach this position where I can rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will be my wali? We have to do what? وَجَاهِدُ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. Strive for Allah with the striving that is due to him. So what do I begin with first? What kind of a picture of yourself do you see in these ayat? Someone who works very hard. The first level is your own self, your nafs, your niya, your own knowledge and your own amal. Until you purify yourself, you cannot be effective in asking other people to Islam, in inviting other people to Islam. Then Allah says in the Quran, "Ku anfusikum wa ahlikum nara." Second, your own family. You have to save your family. Third, other people around you. Fourth, the people of the world. The last stage is to fight with your hands if the need arises. Jihad fi sabilillah is to purify yourself first and then invite others to Allah. This is the most unique kind of work. The job, however, has to be practiced first on oneself. So, what are the steps to giving the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And remember that we can never do that. We can never give haqq to the Quran as is its due. And we can never give the haqq, the right, to Allah as is his due. But each one of us has unique abilities and we can all strive at some level. So what is my level? What are my abilities? Look at your worldly life. How well do you do things in your dunya for material things? What is your level of accomplishment? The highest accomplishment that you have made in your worldly life, we have to go beyond that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are those steps? First, I have to have information, ilm. Then I have to plan. How am I going to implement the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invite others? Then you have to have an action and you have to monitor yourselves for mistakes. Always keeping the goals in mind and always keeping your niyyah pure for Allah. What are some of the questions that I should ask myself? Do I recognize my abilities? How supportive are my state of affairs? Will I let my abilities go to waste? Do I have the knowledge to do what I want to do? Can my health, my schedule afford it? What opportunities do I have around me, within my family, my friends, my neighbors? Have I recognized those opportunities? What effort am I making toward it? To give da'wah, to bring people to Islam. Check yourself. Did you go off course? The best test is the condition of your salah. Do you enjoy your salah? If you go for Allah's sake, then your salah has to be the best. Otherwise, everything else will not have the blessing that it could. Shaitan makes us enjoy other lesser good deeds, and he makes us ignore the higher ones, the greater ones. So be cognizant of Shaitan. Build bonds with true believers. Be pardoning. Be soft towards them and be patient when you work as a team. And remember, nothing for the sake of Allah can be done without teamwork. Have humility and ask dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah use us for spreading His message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first help us to implement it in our own lives, in the lives of our families, and then those around us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do jihad with the Quran. As he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to do jihad against the disbelievers with the Quran. This Quran is what we can use to re-establish Islam in our lives and invite people to the truth so that they will be saved and they will be helped. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who invite people to khair, and may He help us in this difficult task. May He make our niyyah pure for His sake, and may He help us and protect us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.